John 15, verses 26 and 27. But of course, these verses are not isolated verses. They don't just stand like an island in an ocean. They follow on from the verses and the paragraphs before, and what follows immediately after is connected with it. In fact, there should be no chapter divisions. So from verse 27 into chapter 16, verse 1, the division there is wrong, but it's there, and we must live with it. The truth is, 26 and 27, these verses are all of a piece in the discourse of the New Covenant. These verses stand out, though, in a sea, as it were, of hatred and persecution. If you look at the verses just before, it's all about hatred, hatred of Christ by the world, hatred of the saints, hatred of the truth, hatred of Christ above all, persecution. And chapter 16, verse 1, opens with the same. All this I have told you, so that you won't go astray, of course. You know, they will put you out of the synagogue. They'll be killing you and all the rest of it. They do this, you see, because they're against me, against my Father. They don't know the Father or me. It's all for my name's sake. Now, this is a very important point. Hatred, persecution for Christ and then his disciples. And so what should he say to his disciples in verses 26 and 27? Now, I think the best thing to do is softly, softly for a while. Play it gently. Just keep your head down. Wait for a better day. And then when times are easier, then of course, advance the gospel. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. What is Christ going to do? How will Christ, as I will say, cope with? That's the wrong word. What will he do with this persecution? And what does he say to his saints, the apostles, first of all, but all believers, in the light of persecution and hatred? Well, what's his counsel? What's his teaching? When the counselor comes, the paraclete, the one who gives backbone, not sugary comfort, but stiffens you with resolve, helps you, nerves you, puts fight into you. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will make it comfortable for you. No, no, no. He will testify about me. And you also must keep your heads down. No, no, no. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of testimony, testimony to the truth. This is what Christ is saying here. Of course, he's raised the gift of the paraclete, the counselor, before. Verse 26 speaks of the counselor, yes. But we go back to verses 16 and 17. And we should get some more in chapter 16. The coming of the Spirit of power, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. I want you to notice that he is a person. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he, not it, he. He will testify about me. He is a person. And he is called the Spirit of truth. Yeah, truth is paramount in this passage. And his testimony is about the truth. His testimony is about Christ. He will testify about me. And of course, John 14, verse 6, Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and the Spirit will testify, not about religion, not about Christianity, not about a denomination, or churchianity, or a confession, or a creed. He will testify about the person, the name, the work, the glory, the offices, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so must you. And you also must testify. You must preach me. You must proclaim me. You must lift up your voices and proclaim from the rooftops the glories belonging to me. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 3 and 4. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. 2 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 9 was the other passage. You also must testify. The counselor will testify. He will be in you. He will not speak about his gifts. He will speak about me. He will show me and my glories to you, and you must proclaim them to the world. I remind you, this is in a passage which is surrounded by hatred and persecution. In a day of apathy, indifference, hatred, rebellion, what must we do? We must preach Christ. However feebly we may feel we're doing it, however weakly we may feel that we're doing it, however poor we may be in ourselves, we must, brother and sister, proclaim Christ by the Spirit to this hating, persecuting generation. Acts chapter 4. Well, Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, I've already mentioned these chapters. Look at those passages. Look at chapter 4, when the apostles, Peter and John, are hauled before them, the authorities, to account for Acts chapter 3. Are they mealy-mouthed? Are they cowering? Look at chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. They preach Christ. Listen to Peter. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is a man in a court being tried. And when they pass their verdict, now you've got to keep quiet. Read verses 19 and 20 of chapter 4 of Acts. We must obey God rather than men. Judge in yourselves. And when they're persecuted and thrown out and the rest of it, what do? They go to their own people, chapter 4, verses 23 and 31, and what do they pray to God for? Lord, make it easy for us. Stop this persecution. No. Stretch out your hand, Lord, and show with power the glories of Christ. You get the same with Paul in his trials. He's not the one in the dock, though he literally is, but he puts kings and magistrates and proconsuls in the dock. He wrestles with them, preaching Christ to them. Hebrews 11 is full of persecution. History is full of persecution. And there's persecution going on in the world today. Where I live is not so much persecution at the moment, it's apathy. But brother and sister, wherever you are, whatever the surroundings, here is our mandate. Here is our power. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit who testifies, and we must stand for the truth, proclaim the truth, testify the truth, above all, preach Jesus Christ. I fully accept that these little discourses are very feeble, poor little things. I mean, they're only bite-sized, and what good can they do, and so on. I do not know. But as long as I have breath in my body, I want to proclaim Jesus Christ. Unbeliever, I say it to you again. It is Christ and Christ only that can save sinners, that can save you, but he can. And unless you trust Christ, you will perish. I know you won't receive it. I know you will hate it. I know you will laugh at it or scorn it or mock it or ignore it, whatever. But by God's grace, may the arrow of conviction enter your heart and pierce your soul and bring you to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Well, here's the testimony. Behold the Lamb of God. Wesley, in one of his hymns, says, I want in my latest breath, my final breath, to cry, behold the Lamb. And I'm saying it here now. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. When the counselor comes, Whom I, says Jesus, will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. There's a mystery. The holy, powerful, triune God speaking here. Almighty, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit will testify about me, and you also, the apostles, and now us, all the saints. You must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Well, that's the apostles. But brother, sister, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. Now, in whatever way you can, whatever opportunity comes your way, proclaim the name and person and merit and the glories of Jesus Christ. That is our mandate, brother and sister. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. May God bless this discourse, these words, this passage to us. Amen.